Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Joel chapter 2, we taught that every Christian should ask God to show him his sin, while at the same time asking God to keep him from presumptuous sins. Let's take up with that interesting point today. Verses 12 through 19 seem to have taken us to a look at the present day of Judah. In that time, they've had a locust plague that destroyed their trees, their gardens, their grapes, their grazing land, which again, in an agrarian culture, you're destroying what it needs to survive as an economy. And God called for the entire church, so to speak, to come to the church of Israel, to come together, so to speak, to fast, to pray, to confess their sin, and repent, seeking God for mercy. I found interesting some statements I read by the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee on verse 20. Let me read verse 20 again. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor will come up, because he hath done great things. Now, verses 16 through 19, if these people will repent and do what God has told them to do, then this is what he will do. So, Dr. McGee says this: God is glorified when he judges sin, just as when he saves a sinner. Now, that seems hard to many ears and a bitter pill for many to swallow. But God is holy, and a holy, righteous God is going to judge. Every one of the prophets say that. The Word of God has much to say about the judgment of God. He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. Judgment is a strange work for God. That is why he holds out his hands all the day long and asks us to come to him. And when his people refuse to do so, he must judge them in righteousness and true holiness. Well, I think that that is right on the dot there that Dr. McGee said. That is why we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." You see, we judge ourselves, see our sin, as the psalmist said in the 19th psalm, "Keep me from secret sin, presumptuous sin, let them not have dominion over me, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." That ought to be our prayer, every one of us, and mean it. And mean it. But we wouldn't have the chastening if we'd judge ourselves and just go by the Word of God. Chastening comes when we refuse to do what the Word of God tells us to do. We see it in the Word, we think, well, it's not that bad, it's not that important, no, God doesn't expect this. And then when we get the chastening of God, we wonder, why is God chastening me? It may be because you wouldn't heed the Word. You wouldn't even look to the Word to find right or wrong. I believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be Christians seeing that there are rewards laid up for them that they could have had. And they didn't even know they were called to a ministry or they were called to do a certain thing because they didn't seek the Lord to know. And because of the preciousness and holiness of His work, He didn't let them know until they would seek Him with a pure heart. And, as the Bible tells us, we'll count the loss. You see, with that which we surround our lives, also that which reflects where we stand. So often the things of the flesh have given a momentary thrill and pleasure, but it's also given a lifetime of regret and sorrow. It is not enough for us as Christians to think we have justice and good on our side. If we individually and as a local church continually break God's holy law. Now, friend, when we abuse His mercies and having received the grace of God, we reward it with lasciviousness and worldliness, living for our own selves, we have slighted the God of all grace. Therefore, we have aggravated His loving mercy, and we are in line for the chastening hand of God. This is why the people were called to repent, if they would see the salvation of God and the supply of His almighty power to meet the need that the judgment of the locusts had brought. Again, verses 18 and 19 says, "Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto His people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen." When the people do what He has asked, His reward is greater than their humbling of themselves. Now again, understand what God will do for them in the day of Joel. He will do for us. We see He removes the problem. We're not told what happened to these locusts. I personally believe it's as in Egypt, the Lord who can calm the wind, who can calm the seas, can also send a mighty wind to drive them away toward the East Sea and destroying them so they are not a threat to them any longer. Don't missing the power of God in this. You see, whenever you see what man can't do, control the wind, make it rain, then you can find out what God can do, what He can do against the enemy. In Isaiah 59, verse 19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Oh, that enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord is right there. Let's look at that power of God for just a moment here in the 29th Psalm, verses 1 through 11. There we read this. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." Boy, I tell you, if there was ever a command I think that is impossible, it'd be that one, to give the Lord the glory that's due unto His name. "Worship the Lord." And notice He even tells us how to worship the Lord in Psalm 29:2. He says, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Verse 3, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now remember, it was merely the voice of the Lord, the Creator. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Psalm 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth, he spoke this earth into existence. It did not evolve. So yes, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Verse 5 says, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. My friend, that is a song of praise which wouldn't even hurt to have your Bible open and read that 29th Psalm when you're praying and let it become the prayer of your heart. It's the Lord's voice that commands the winds to blow them away. He sets the bounds of the oceans. He commands the stars in their courses. And so he, with the spoken word, can blow away the locusts that have covered the land in Joel's day. And it's this same God with whom you and I have to do at judgment. No one is exempt. When that day comes, make sure you are in Christ. Now, please don't miss. He removed a problem which they simply could not remove. Turn to Jesus Christ for salvation from sin. But remember, you cannot remove the sin yourself. He separates it from you as far as the east is from the west, and will not remember it anymore. In Titus 2:14, it says of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.